Psalm 130. This can be found in page 614 in the Church Bible. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning, more than the watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Today's gospel reading is John chapter 19, verses 17 through 27. And in respect of the gospel, please rise. And he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with two others on one either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write, the King of the Jews, but rather, the man said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each shoulder. Also his tunic, but the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus where his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home.
Let's pray. Father, bless our conversation now tonight as we look at Mary and Martha and Jesus, and just to help and use this story to bring us to that cross, to be in that moment when our Lord and Savior laid down his life for us in service to us. We pray and ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in a way, I'm going to kind of tease you and say, make sure that you have your cell phones turned off, okay? That can be a distraction, can't it? Right? See, I see some reaching for their cell phones. I'm just teasing you. But Martha, I read someplace, Martha, one of the ways that she could be known is she could be the patron saint of the 21st century, because we are a century of distracted people. Go to a restaurant anytime and what do you see? Karen and I were walking in the mall the other day. What did we see? Everybody on their cell phone, even walking with others and sitting with others, they were distracted. Well, that brings us to the story in Luke's gospel about Mary and Martha, and Mary and Martha, and Martha having invited Jesus to come and be a guest at her home. And pretty short story. It's not the only story about these two women. A little later on in John chapter 11 and John chapter 12, with the death and the raising of Lazarus and a dinner in honor of the now alive Lazarus, we see some more about Mary and Martha. But for now, there's this story. And you know the story, don't you? Martha is serving, busy. Mary is, if this is Jesus, Mary's right here, taking in everything he's got to say. And Martha says, come on, Lord, make her help. And Jesus goes on to talk about the better thing. But what struck you about this story, Barb?
Well, the first thing that struck me was as soon as we talked about that, and my husband said, she's a Martha.
Pointing at you.
So, pointing at me, yes. So he knows me well, but, and I think when I first read it, that wasn't necessarily a positive, because Martha wasn't really doing what she was doing what she was supposed to be doing, but then she was complaining about what she was doing.
Yeah, so you're thinking a little, and the attitude went south there just a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Jane, how about you?
Well, in all fairness to Martha, she was doing what the women, what was expected of the women in that time and place. So I guess I would have been a little frustrated, as Martha was, that I would be doing what I was supposed to be doing, and yet I was reprimanded. But again, my attitude maybe wasn't the best. Maybe a little put out with my sister.
And there's no doubt about it, though, Martha was distracted, wasn't she? It's interesting. Chatted. Think back to your childhood days when you were in trouble with your mom or your dad, and they called you by name, right? But did they repeat your name? Mine never did. Dave? There was no Dave. Hey, because I was in trouble. What's Jesus doing there?
Well, I think it's, you know, maybe a little reprimanding, but it was in love. I mean, it was gentle. I'm gonna help you through this here.
Yeah.
Maybe wanted to get her attention.
Okay. Yep. And was Martha doing a beautiful thing for Jesus? Did Jesus see that and recognize it? Yeah, I think that was behind the Martha. I read something earlier today, and I'm not sure that this psychological term was in Jesus' mind. What Jesus was doing there was giving Martha an elevation. You ever hear that? Which means that he was trying to show her appreciation and affection for her doing something that he considered to be a beautiful. And he wanted her to know that, but he wanted something more for her to know. And so, Martha certainly wanted Jesus to do that to Mary, though, didn't she? We can't walk around that one, can we? So you're married for a second. What are you thinking about your older sister when she does this? You're locked in on Jesus.
Well, I don't know that she's thinking a lot about what Martha's doing, because Martha's doing what Martha does, and she was doing what she does. They each had different personalities and different gifts. But probably when Martha started complaining, she might have said, oh, no, here we go.
Crossed the line.
Yeah.
Attitude-wise.
The line.
Okay. Jane, any thought on that?
I'm sure Mary was engrossed in what Jesus was teaching about and was probably not aware of what was going on behind her, I would think, because she was more than likely used to Martha taking over and doing things, and Martha would have tapped her on the shoulder if she needed her, probably. But I think Mary probably was very engrossed in what she was hearing Jesus telling her, the people.
Did you have sisters?
I have a sister 8 years younger. So I'm a Martha, yes.
And sister?
Yes, I have a sister that's older, but I'm still Martha.
Okay. And I had no sisters, only brothers. We used to tease that the only woman allowed in our house was our mom. But any insights from that, the dynamics going on here between these two sisters?
Oh, very definitely. Martha was, again, the older one in that day and age. She was doing what she was trained to do. I mean, a woman would be taken care of. She'd be up before dawn, taking care of things in the house, making sure everybody was clothed. And I mean, as a woman, there was many responsibilities and probably not very many people besides Mary that were actually sitting at Jesus' feet and listening. So Martha was definitely doing what she was trained to do.
And good at it.
And very accomplished at it, yes. She was earning a lot of brownie points being, yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna be a guy here for a second. Again, I think trying to acknowledge the beautiful thing that Martha was doing here. What kind of life was Jesus living?
He was pretty much a nomad, wasn't he? Traveling from town to town, preaching with whoever was following him.
Yes.
So they were relying on Martha's to feed them and shelter them too, probably.
Yeah, so how inviting would an invitation to a home I guess I bring that out just how much Jesus had to appreciate what Martha was doing.
As a guy, after all day traveling, potatoes and meat and, you know, the whole thing would taste pretty good.
I kind of doubt that Matthew, the tax collector, knew how to cook. Or Peter doesn't strike me as a guy who has the patience for cooking. None of those guys, I think. Yeah, so this was probably very welcome on behalf of Jesus.
And it certainly didn't come across as he was complaining that she was doing the wrong thing. It was just that he was helping her through that attitude part.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you said, it's Martha, Martha, you know. And it's not fun to have an attitude. So be feeling that way, so he was helping her through that, I think.
Okay. What do you think of Jesus' people skills here? I mean, in a way, he's got kind of a touch. He's got two sisters. I see two sisters sitting right back there. I'm married to one, and the other is my sister.
Normally, if you would be reprimanded, and to me this was a bit of, she was being reprimanded, you wouldn't do it in front of the whole staff, basically. You would pull this person aside and bring that up on a one-to-one basis rather than in front of the whole assembly.
Yeah. And, you know, go ahead, Mark.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, part of that, what he was saying is so often it's not what you say, it's the tone of your voice, right? And so we don't really know that, but knowing who Jesus is, I have to imagine that the tone of his voice was kind.
And to your point about Martha being distracted, to the point, I think, of setting aside, has this ever happened to you? Where you become kind of irritated with somebody that you set aside how you normally do things? I think that's what's happening here. That Martha, in effect, is calling Mary out right in front of Jesus.
Right.
There were other ways she could have done that. Mary, could you come and join me in the kitchen for just a second? But no, Jesus, tell her she was really distracted, wasn't he? And dare we say, would you use the word irritated? But Jesus in return, you know, we talked too about the problem with Martha's distraction was she was no longer in the moment, was she? She was, I don't know where she was, but she wasn't. There was Jesus, but she was not enjoying that moment. She wasn't in the moment. And we relate that to Jesus. He wanted Martha to be in that moment. He's trying to, Martha, he's trying to pull her in. Come on, there's the three of us here. Let's take advantage of this moment. But Jesus was really a master at that. I wanted to take you to the cross for just a second. Talk about somebody being in the moment. Think of all the things that could have distracted Jesus at that time. Beginning with his own personal pain, with the taunts and the jeers from the crowd, and yet he's in the moment and he's focused. We heard a little bit of it in today's gospel lesson, where he singles out his mother. He's in the moment, isn't he? John, there's your mom. Mom, there's your son. Penitent thief, again, an illustration of Jesus being in the moment. And I think one of the things we can take from this is there ever a moment in your life where Jesus is not in that moment with you? Holy in that moment with you. Experiencing, he was in that moment with Martha, experiencing her distress, wasn't he? He was feeling it. That's why he was as empathic, I think, as he was toward her. And that's just a comfort. Know that about our Lord and see it happening here in a situation that I think we're all too familiar with. What do you think was Jesus' love language? Or Martha's love language? You know, how they best receive love and how they best think love should be given. What would you say about
it? Well, Martha, I don't know the names of the little things, I've forgotten that, but doing things with people.
Okay. Yeah. Acts of service.
Acts of service, yes.
Or hospitality would be maybe another way to look at. Okay. Yeah. That was her way of expressing. How about Jesus' love language?
Well, he would have had no irritation with anybody. I mean, to me, he was love. I guess he did get upset with the people in the temple or whatever, but it just a totally different heart, just a totally different being that. Like I said, she was, I want to use the word reprimanded, and that probably is not the right word, but it was done with love. That could have been Jane, or Martha, Barb. I mean, he just wanted her to understand that love was talking to her. Listen.
Yeah. And I guess for my take on it, I think love language, the way he best expressed love was to give quality time. he was giving it to Mary, and he wanted to give it to Martha as well, quality time. And imagine that, just the two of them with Jesus. Whoa. Yeah. And I share that too, that to emphasize to you, let Jesus speak his love language to you. He wants to spend quality time with you. And you set the table for that by your prayer time, by your time in the Word, by your time here, a guest at his table. Kind of a reverse here, right, of what happened there as he's serving us. But give him that opportunity to speak his love language to you of just, here I am with you. And I think we'll be greatly strengthened and encouraged and comforted by that.
And I think also acts of service, like Jane said, of Martha too, is because he wants to do things for you and with you and for, you know, especially for us.
Yeah.
Whatever it is we need, which is lots.
Yeah. And in this setting, he wanted to reverse the roles. Martha, I appreciate that you want to serve me, but I want to serve
yes,
you.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Jane.
And too, I mean, like you were talking before, how distracting our atmosphere is when we've got people around us, whether it's grandkids or spouse or friends or whatever. There are so many distractions, and that should between you and me and you and me. It should be a one-to-one rather than all these other stuff that pulls at us, pulls us away.
In a way, we're talking. Time to take care of our soul, our spirit, our faith, prayer, being in the Word, worship. That's what Martha was missing out on at that moment, wasn't it? It was soul care time. And that's, Mary had picked it, and Jesus, yeah, that's the more important. Do you have any idea what she maybe cooked that night?
I was just thinking about peeling potatoes, and I'm sure that wasn't probably what was going on in that kitchen, but if there was a number of people there, there would have had to be a lot of fruit to be, or a lot of food to be prepared, whatever it was. Lamb? Mutton?
Dun. That's a good question. Yeah. You know, I want to encourage you kind of to get the rest of the story. Rest of the story, John chapter 11, John chapter 12. John chapter 11, the death of Martha and Mary's brother Lazarus. And Jesus waits, as you know, 4 days, and then he comes. Who's the first one to go out to Jesus? It's Martha. And it says there specifically in John 11 that Mary stayed at home. And it's Martha who goes out has a wonderful conversation with Jesus about the resurrection and states her faith in that. And then it's Mary. And then the next chapter, chapter 12, they're having a banquet in honor of Lazarus, and it just notes very quietly, discreetly, Martha served. And there's no big deal done about it. It just Martha served. She was just being Martha,
yeah.
Wasn't she?
She does.
You know, think about it. Jesus has just raised her brother from the dead. What's her way of thanking Jesus? Serving him a meal.
Yep. Pie and coffee.
Oh, dear Martha. What do you take away from this story?
I have to say that I identified with Martha, and at first it kind of bothered me because I thought, well, you know, she was doing her thing and wasn't paying attention to Jesus. And then as I read it more, you know, Jesus wasn't upset with her because she was serving. He was upset with her because of her attitude. So got to watch the attitude.
Okay.
That's always what hangs you up.
Don't let the attitude get in the way of something important.
Exactly.
Because it can do that.
Yep, it can.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Jane, your takeaway?
I think that the one thing that I ended up after reading this was that I have kind of gotten away from my quiet time and prayer time. But Jesus will, Jane, and nudge me back and love me no matter what my distractions are.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, listen for God to call your name twice. Well, let's pray. We're listening, Father, and we pray that you would, through your Spirit, open our ears to hear you call our names twice. Just come away for and be with you. Take care of our souls. And we thank and praise you that you are so in the moment, Jesus, and so with us. What a beautiful Savior you are. We praise you in your name. Amen. Thank you both.